Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yechezkel Perek Yud Aleph, Chapter 11. This is the last of four prakim discussing Yechezkel's journey to Yerushalayim. He saw idolatry, the attribute of justice unleashed on the inhabitants of the city, and then he saw the destruction as it would be, still brutal, but with the inclusion of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash so that the people could be spared. The Shekhinah and the Merkava withdrew from the Beis HaMikdash, leaving behind a physical shell waiting to be destroyed. In this parak, Yechezkel will now address the debate that has been raging for the last 6 years. First, what should be the next steps of those living in Galus? They hadn't yet finalized their plans. They were like a couple who had moved to a city for a job but weren't sure how long that job would last, so they weren't sure if they should fix up their house or not because they never knew when they would move. Second, beginning with Pasuk Yedalad, verse 14, Yechezkel addresses what is the status of those in Galus versus those in Eretz Israel. Is their Galus a sign of rejection? Those who still live in Israel deride those who live in the Galus that they had lost the merit to live in Eretz Israel. This was an ideological debate between those who felt the nation's identity was tied to the land and sovereignty, and those who felt that there was a different thread that bound the nation together. This perek and the conversation between the two groups is not taking place in a vacuum. We read in Yirmiyahu, Perek Chaf Tes, chapter 29, that Yirmiyahu had sent a message to those in the Galus to convince them to settle there and not to continue to live out of their suitcases with disposable dishes. B'nu batim v'shevu, v'nituga nos v'ichlu es piryan. Build houses and live there and plant gardens and eat their fruit. We also learned in Sefer Yirmiyahu about false prophets who shared conflicting messages contradicting Yirmiyahu. The words of this parak are rich, and so I want to spend time examining them together. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Batisa osi ruach. Then a spirit lifted me up. Batave osi al shar beis Hashem hakadmoni hapona kadima. And it brought me to the east gate of the Beis HaMikdash, which looked eastward. Vehinei bepesach hashar esrim v'chamisha ish. And behold, in the door were 25 men. Yechezkel then lists some of the names of these people. Until now, Yechezkel has been in the Beis HaMikdash. In the last parak, Yechezkel was brought into the Beis HaMikdash building, and now he is being moved to the eastern gate. He once again sees the same 25 men who had been bowing to the sun. Before, he could only see their backs because he was standing between the Beis HaMikdash building and the Mizbeach. Now, he is facing them. He is facing from the east, and so he can see their faces. Hashem tells him in Pasuk Beis that they are prominent individuals who influence the whole population with their rhetoric. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. What do they say? Ha'umrim, they say, don't make peace with Nebuchadnezzar. Lo bekarov, not soon, meaning nothing that the Nevi'im will predict will happen anytime soon. Benos batim, so build houses. Yirmiyahu had told those living in Galus to build houses, and so here the men of Yerushalayim are contradicting him by advising the exact opposite approach using the same language. They want people to invest in real estate in Yerushalayim. Now they bring a mashal to explain how secure their position is. Hi hasir va'anachnu habasar. Yerushalayim is like a pot and we are the meat. A pot protects what's inside of it. It doesn't burn as easily and is not impacted by the variations of heat. It is only removed when the chef decides that the food is done. The walls of Yerushalayim would protect its people. No one would need to leave before they die a natural death. In response to their message, Hashem disagrees with the premise. Pasuk Vav, verse 6, instead of the idyllic images these influencers are promoting, the city would be filled with corpses. The city would become like a pot, holding the dead bodies inside of it. The mashal of the pot is now accurate, but is a prophecy of doom. Pasuk Zion, verse 7, Chalalechem asher samtem besocha, your corpses that you put inside of it, hey mahabasar, those corpses are the meat you're talking about. Vehi hasir and Yerushalayim is still the pot. The Pasuk adds that the walls of the city will hold all the corpses, but the surviving nation will need to be exiled and won't die a natural death within the city walls. Yechezkel continues, Pasuk Ches, verse 8, Cherev yireisem v'cherev avi aleichem. You who have feared the sword is what I will bring on you. The Radak says that the main things these leaders wanted was to defend against Bavel. They wanted their sovereignty at all costs. Against the advice of the Navi, they had sought Mitzrayim's support. They spoke with bravado and nationalism. Here, what they feared most, a loss of sovereignty through battle, will happen. The Psukim continue that they will be conquered, subjugated, and die at the borders of Israel, even as they try to escape. Why? Pasuk Yud, verse 10, we hear a phrase that has been said before in the Navi and will continue to be repeated, V'yadatem ki ani Hashem, so that you will know that I am Hashem. Each time the Navi uses the phrase, he is telling the nation that what they are experiencing is not accidental. They are meant to learn about a certain aspect of Hashem from their experiences. Here, they learn that Hashem pays back as he says he will. There is schar v'onesh, reward and punishment in this world. Yechezkel ends off this part of the Nevuah in Pasuk Yubeis, verse 12, telling the reason for this punishment. He echoes the words that begin the Tochacha, the rebuke in Sefer Vayikra, that have found expression and will continue to be cited throughout Sefer Yechezkel. Asher bechukosai lo halachtem u'mishpatai lo asisem. You have not walked in my statutes, nor have you done my laws. U'chimishpatei hagayim asher svivosechem asisem. But you have done like the laws of the nations around you. Immediately upon concluding the Nevuah in Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, Yechezkel sees a leader in Yerushalayim, Platyahu ben Benaya, die. Yechezkel reacts strongly and asks in shock, Kala ata oses sheiris Yisrael, will you make a full end to the remnant of Yisrael? Yechezkel had not expected the judgment to come so quickly. He had thought that there would be time for tshuva, or according to the Malbim, the destruction described would only apply to the 25 men on Har HaBayis. Instead, he learns it will apply to all of Bnei Yisrael, and the judgment is starting with this individual. Pasuk Yedalad, verse 14, begins the second part of the Nevuah, addressing the question of the status of the people in Galus. It is an important conversation that helps us understand what is our relationship with Hashem while we are in Galus, and what makes us a nation if we don't have common borders. Pasuk Tezvah, verse 15, Ben Adam, Achecha, Achecha, Anshe Gulasecha, son of man, your brothers, men who are like you. Hashem tells Yechezkel he is talking about three waves of exile who are his brothers in their attitude. V'chol Beis Yisrael Kula, and all the house of Israel, all these people who were exiled were still one family of Israel, despite no longer being active citizens of a sovereign nation. Asher Amru Lehem Yoshei Yerushalayim, that those who are living in Yerushalayim say about them, Rachakume Al Hashem, they are far from Hashem. Lanu hi nitna ha'aretz l'morasha. Hashem has given us, meaning the people left in Israel, the land of Israel as a lifelong bequest. Those who remained in Israel gloated that the exiled were far from the Mikdash physically, which must reflect that they are far from Hashem spiritually. If so, those who are in Israel will now take their portion of the land of Israel, and those exiled will be excluded forever from the status of being part of the nation. Pasuk Tezayin, verse 16, Hashem tells Yechezkel to encourage those in Galus. Ki hirchaktem bagayim, although I have removed them far off among the nations, v'chi hafitzosim ba'aratzos, and although I have scattered them among the countries, they no longer have borders to claim their own, v'ehi lahem l'mikdash ma'at, yet I will be for them as a small sanctuary, ba'aratzos asher ba'usham, in the countries where they are coming. Hashem is directly addressing the claims of those who mock those in exile. They say you are far from Hashem. No matter how far you are physically or how spread out you are, Hashem promises to be with us. It is our connection to Him that binds us together, not a physical location. Hashem gives us a poor substitute, since we will not have the presence of the Shekhinah as we had in the Beis HaMikdash. He gives us a Mikdash Ma'at, a small Mikdash, but it is still a Mikdash. These small sanctuaries are, according to the Gemara in Megillah 29, are our houses of prayer and houses of study. No matter what happens in Galus, we can always enter into communal prayer and Hashem will be there to answer us. The Maharal, in his commentary on Esther, highlights that a Mikdash Ma'at, our shuls and houses of study, are not simple, shallow replications of the temple experience that Hashem allows us to have. Rather, a Jew undergoes a metaphysical change when davening in shul. During communal tefillah, it is as if we leave our exile temporarily, and the shul becomes an ingathering of the exiles during the time we are together. The Gemara in Brachos says, "Kala osek b'Torah u'b'gemilas chasadim u'mispalal im hatzibor ki'ilu padali u'levanai mibein ha'umos." When one toils in Torah and does acts of kindness and prays with the community, it is as if you have redeemed me and my children from among the nations. What was the reason Hashem gifted us with this continued opportunity to connect and to leave Galus even temporarily? The Medrash Sutta, quoting a pasuk in Yeshayah, says that when we sinned, we were comparable to Sodom. However, we were saved and given the ability to have a Mikdash Ba'at, because we gave tzedakah in the same measure, ma'at, a little. The Midrash asks, how could tzedakah be called little? Isn't it something great? It answers that indeed this tzedakah is only considered trivial to the giver. It's just a penny or a nickel. But for Hashem, it is a big deal, and it brings us before the Shekhinah. As we have learned before, our chesed and tzedakah do more for us than it does for the person to whom we are giving. We have seen in previous prakim, our cruelty to others brought us to destruction, and the kindness we do likewise brings us to redemption, even in the midst of galus. Hashem then addresses the question whether exile will sever our relationship with the land of Israel. He promises that those exiled will be forever connected to the land of Israel, no matter where they may be. Pasuk Yedzayin, verse 17. Kibatzti eschem min ha'amim, I will gather you from amongst the nations. Asafti eschem min ha'aretzos asher nifotzosem bahem, and I will assemble you from the land where you are scattered. Bonasati lechem es admas Israel, and I will give you the land of Israel. Beginning in Pasuk Yudches, verse 18, Hashem tells us that the Gullus experience will change us, and we will transform to a nation who follows God's will. Hashem assures us that we will remove all idols. How can Hashem guarantee this if we have free will? The Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the men of the Great Assembly who led the Jewish people after Gullus Bavel, took away our free will. They came together and prayed to remove the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. Because they initiated, Hashem was able to fulfill that request. Hashem goes even further. Pasuk Yetes, verse 19. V'nasati lehem lev echad v'ruach hadasha atayin bekir bechem. I will give them one heart and a new spirit in them. Hashem will remove our Yetzer Hara and our indecision whether to listen and believe in Hashem or not. V'hasirosi lev ha'evan mibzaram. And I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh. What this means is that Hashem will take away our stubborn and cynical hearts that will not listen or change. In its place, v'nasati lehem lev basar, I will give you a heart of flesh. A lev basar is a heart ready to listen and to be influenced, a heart inclined to spirituality and which acts in consonance with the word of Hashem. Hashem will change our nature so that those in Galus will transform to the nation of Hashem. In contrast, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, verse 21, tells us that those people who remain in Yerushalayim while serving Avodah Zarah will be the ones to lose their connection to the land of Israel. They will either be killed or experience galus to rid them of their sins. Yecheskel has now answered the question as to which group is far from Hashem and which group is close. It is not the physical proximity to the Beis HaMikdash that is important, but the ability to connect to Hashem that determines who will inherit Eretz Israel. Beginning with Pasuk Chaf Beis, verse 22, Yecheskel recounts the end of his vision that we have heard about for the last four prakim. He sees the Kruvim with their Ofanim and the glory of Hashem lift up. The glory of Hashem leaves Yerushalayim and goes to Har HaZeisim, the Mount of Olives to the east of the city. In Pasuk Chaf Daled, verse 24, Yecheskel in his vision sees himself traveling back from Yerushalayim to the Galus. After four prakim of Nevuah, Vayal Me'alai Hamara Asher Ra'isi, the vision that I had seen went up from me. The parak ends with Yecheskel sharing all of his vision with the Zakenim who are with him. In this parak, Yecheskel addresses the inhabitants of Yerushalayim who mock those in exile. He tells them that Yerushalayim will not be a pot that protects them, but will be a metal barrier that will prevent their escape and will harm them. Rather than being rejected by Hashem, those living in Galus have a chance to connect to Hashem through the Mikdash Ma'at, the shuls and the places of Torah study. Those in Israel serving idols are the ones who will be cut off from Hashem forever. One of the main ideas discussed in the parak was the idea of Mikdash Ma'at, a small sanctuary. The Ben Ish Chai tells us that because our shuls have this status, we must treat them with awe and respect. They are a place of holiness. Our shuls and Bate Medrash are also a slice of Geula, a slice of our salvation which is to come. When we go into our shuls, we step out of Galus and the Shekhinah comes to us. For the last few months before I recorded this podcast, I knew we suffered to some degree from the closure of our shuls. I did not realize that what we were experiencing was an even deeper level of galus than we generally have. Though we may not always have access to our shuls and yeshivos, we can always raise our merits with tzedakah and chesed to bring us back to them. May the galus we experienced these last few months be in place of other forms of galus that we have withstood throughout history. And as we experience a return to our shuls, may this be the prelude to return to our glorious Beis HaMikdash b'mhera b'yameinu. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther Basvi Yosef.